by then, we should have submissions on three of the other bills, which have been introduced over the public hearing, and on the SOAR's bill over the public hearing. I'm still waiting for my copy from Mr. Abada to show me how this bill has changed from the other one, physically in terms of colors, from the one we passed last time, with how much this department has deviated from the wisdom of this committee. It will be a very interesting thing to watch this, because I think promotions of that could be in, could be a stake here, depending on how much it's changed. Starting with the DG, and definitely bonuses will fly and go. So what we're trying to wait for is to wait for the press statement I sent out, wait for the comments to come in, so that we can try and see how much there is and how much time we need for public hearings to try and get this process going, which means that we'll only really be able to start processing some of this legislation in October. Because of the public hearings on September, then it's again a recess. So we're really in trouble with this legislation. But let's see. We're going to push on and see how much of it we can do. If they're not controversial issues, it will be easy. If they are, then it becomes more complicated to manage the process. Time-wise, of course, not otherwise. So that really is the issue. You should be able to get a program, redrafted program again. So I'm not sure. Have you circulated? Circulated, okay. So people should have it. But you'll see it's basically a committee stuff. Now, today we are going to try something new. I'm not aware that in Parliament they do this. So this is a first, I think. And that is to, as you know, a lot of the issues we deal with in Parliament, particularly constituency issues, you do, MPs deal with them in the area that they work, or they use the plenary sessions by way of questions and so on to deal with constituency issues. Now, those are still available. Of course, the MPs can use all those things. But we've also thought that it may be worth us at a committee level at least once a term to try and see where we can't engage the department on constituency issues. Now, of course, this is not an easy thing to do, because the person that may be dealing with the issue is not necessarily here, and you can't expect the DG to know everything. Well, close to everything, but you can't expect them. So it's so obviously, if they can give us responses today, then that's fine. And if we're satisfactory, that's also fine. If not clearly, then there has to be follow-up and, you know, reports and so on and so on and so on. So we'll see how this process works. Also, it's of course difficult for the DG to anticipate what are going to be the problem areas. So, you know, we try to say, okay, bring all your, for what I said, bring all the regional reps. So at least the provinces, we can see if there's some responses. And the usual other problems are licenses and infrastructure. So those are the kind of people we brought. So as I said, this is new. Now, Ms. Daoud, I've asked to be, for the committee, to be centrally involved with these issues. And she does, she's been doing some work and so on. But more importantly, I want her to keep, today as these issues are raised, to keep a record of the issues, and so that we can follow it up and so on. So we have a record as a committee. Obviously members will have access to the record and so on, so that we can continuously follow up on these issues. Okay. Already at the end of the year, the last meeting of the year, again set down for constituency issues, so that we can again start following up on these issues. Now obviously Mr. Watts and Mr. Mafungala, I never pronounced it, Manungufala. Sorry, Tumani. It's much better to say this. Obviously, you guys have a role to play in this in terms of feeding information to Madawood as well, okay? So let's see how it goes. We'll take it from there. If we finish with this, for the rest of today and tomorrow, of course, we'll start processing the integrated coastal management bill, okay? All right. Anything from the DGs?
No.
Happy, we'll see how it goes. Okay. Anything from the members? Okay.
Can I just...
Yes.
Chair, thank you. Good morning. Good morning, honourable members. Just in terms of your legislative programme, the one issue maybe if you could find time to have some engagement is around the policy document, which has just gone
and
through.
And we have said that.
Because that will lead us into the...
Middle September, the National Water Research Strategy, the policy review, plus the non-apology from Overberg. I'm not going to let go of this thing. Those people must come here. Those three issues are on the Thursday of the committee week. The first 2 days will be legislation, and that will be on the Thursday. That plus, is it plus the state of? It may also be this, in the morning is your stuff, I think, and in the afternoon is the state of. Remember we had to cancel the... On the 19th, in the morning, it's Dua, and the afternoon, it's Dia with a state of stuff, okay? I think we need to get an update on that state of, because I'm very worried. When I look at some of these constituency issues, the state of rivers and things are seeming to be a big problem, particularly KZN. But okay, let's start. Who's going to kick off? Let me give the opposition a chance to start with one or two questions. Marty, Francois, forget Mr. Rogers. Who else is from there? Errol is not here. Zikalala. Okay. All right. Well, let's start with two of you guys. Two questions there. And we'll take it on. Let's see how it goes. Marty?
Thank you much, Che.
Can I just say, remember, what we're trying to do is we're not just trying to deal with all the problems of the department, because we deal with that all the time. What we're really trying to do, I'm trying to get this issue of constituency issues. You know, say in Marty's area, like we know Jane, for example, has problems with water all the time in her village. Now, that's the kind of thing we really want to spend. You know, I don't want to, like, other issues. I mean, there's so many issues of... But if it starts becoming like just a free-for-all, and I'm saying this for all of us, let's try and keep it where we can make it a constituency where we as MPs in our areas can hold them accountable. But that doesn't mean you can't ask outside of your areas, because, you know, it may be a bit broader. But let's try and, if we want to make it meaningful, let's try and stick to those kind of things. Okay, sorry, Ms. Wenger.
Thank you, Chair. My one is basically coming from Gauteng, and my constituency being the Midvaal and Sedibeng region, is the regional sewer works. While water supply...
Regional sewer works?
Yes, the regional sewer works. Okay. Now, this has been on the cards for a long, long time. And every time we talk about it, the figures in implementing it and getting going to tender gets higher and higher and higher and higher. I would like to know how far this process is. Has the tenders have been awarded, and who has got the tenders? When will the work anticipated to be completed? What will the final cost be? What is the plan of action in the meantime that all the works are overcapacitated and we have continuous spillages into the Vaal and the Cliff River? What emergency actions can they be taken? Will there be fines issued against the municipalities, considering they actually cannot help the situation at the moment because of the delays? And if those fines are issued, who's going to pay those fines? Where are they going to come from? And how are the municipalities being held responsible? Whilst no, they have a responsibility. If there is no capacity, what happens to that excessive sewage? Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Rogers, let's raise one as well. I'm going to take one or two, and then we can see how long it takes us, okay?
Thanks, Chair.
I've got a few questions. I assume you're just going to do one at a time.
Do one at a time, and let's see how we can take your most important ones. And we'll try and finish all of them, but let's see how it goes.
And I assume that we will deal with water and environment separately.
So we're dealing with water, yeah.
Perhaps, Chair, what I can start off with is in the Amdumkulu region of Sisonke district, we've got some serious challenges there in rural areas. I want to particularly highlight three wards, Ward 2, Ward 10, and Ward 18. Ward 2, we've got areas like Insekeni and Ndodeni, where the people have absolutely no access to water whatsoever. There's no standpipes. They are basically using water from streams and rivers that they share with their cattle and their goats and their pigs, which we need to find some direction. Now, in area like Ndodeni is an interesting area. The department actually put up water tanks, and there are springs that are supposed to feed the water tanks. The infrastructure is all there. It's all gravity fed, but it's not working. It's never worked properly, so if we could get some direction there. Ward 18 is quite a big challenge in Amdumkulu. There we've got 13 villages like Simfase, Magwala, and Mbolazana, where, again, there's absolutely no water. No standpipes, no boreholes. Some of the people are traveling kilometers to collect water. And then my final area is Ward 10, which is probably the worst of the entire Amdumkulu area. And there's a village called Nkampin, where the guys are walking 3 to 4 kilometers to the nearest stream to collect water. So if we could have some sort of plan or some sort of idea of how we're going to address this so that one can take us back to the community and give him some sort of hope. Because at the moment the conditions are far from acceptable. Thanks, Jim.
So the KZN regional person, get ready for that answer. Let's hear what's going to happen there. Mamanganya? Teta? Kuluma? Prat?
Thank you very much, Dr. Sena, and good morning to everybody. I'm not just waiting. I will be posing the follow-up question, because whatever that we have agreed upon, I've never seen it happening in Moses Kotel. And then my constituency stretch up to Rangelenyani and Kapa. All are the rural areas. There's no water for us. Maybe if I can...
But I thought you guys had spoken to the department. What happened there? Is there's still no movement?
Yeah, there's no movement.
And they told you their plan?
Yes, I met with the mayor, because these guys of the media, they are always after this question of water. So she said she's planning to go to Mafikeng, this municipality called Zira. She wanted to go and negotiate for water. And the problem that the people used to ask is that I know that we can't change the memorandum of understanding with Botswana, whereby we've got water in Mali, but we don't benefit out of that water. So what do we want to know is that, is there anything that the department can help in terms of that? Because there is water, but we've got this memorandum of understanding.
So the department never came and chatted to you?
No.
They never had a meeting with you?
No, they didn't. They said that they will call the meeting, but...
You haven't had a meeting?
No.
Now, this is a serious problem, because this problem has now been going on for years. I want the Northwest people to explain what's happening here. It's Moses Kotana. I think you said there's 50-odd villages that don't have water.
Yes, 52.
52. And I need to know what are we doing there, what are the plans, okay? Moses Kotana. Baba?
Chairperson, I just need to follow up on this one. You see, we spoke about this matter for quite a long time. And the community is crying there, and people are doing negative things now about these issues. Now, when the department is responding on this matter, I should think we must be finished with the program of how to deal with that matter. And so that all of us, we can know exactly how we're going to deal with the matter. And timely, we'll be needing a feedback to a person of what is going on in that area.
Okay.
That's all I'd like to say for now, but I'll come back
on the Kutana one. Okay. Anyone else want to raise another mark? You want to raise one? You want to raise the issue? Okay.
Thank you, Chair. Morning. My name is Fuzil. I'm from Unzinga. It's under Unzinga district. There is a problem there with regards to water allocation, especially there is no water. 90% of the area of Unzinga has got no water. At the moment, the municipality is using water tanks to give water to the people. But the problem is this, those water tanks are politically driving by some of the councillors, because some of the areas are giving water, others don't get water because of their political affiliation. And also there are schemes that they are there, as we've seen, main schemes, for instance, for the water scheme, which was being built there since 2006, but has not yet been completed. To date, there is Danya water scheme, Ngubuga water, there are many schemes there. Abatim phase 1 and 2 also has not yet been completed. And the abuse of funds was one of the things that we mentioned at the constituency office, because there are pipes that have been bought. They are still there. They are not yet being used to distribute water from those schemes, because they are not completed. Other schemes, two of them, they have been completed, but the problem is that they are no longer used since they have been completed. The other thing is about...
They are not being used since they've been completed. Mm-hmm. So
they are not used.
Like water, there's no water that's coming from
them. There is water, but there are no pipes from those schemes to the community.
Pipes,
okay. And there is the issue of streams protection, because there are many streams in the Unzinga. Because people they believe that the water from streams is better than the water that's coming from the boreholes. Because some of the boreholes also need a maintenance, because they are there, they have been broken for years. People don't get those water from there. And there was an area where we go there with another NGO, where we found that people are getting water from the sand, but they have to bring the children to come to be there so that they can be able to look after the donkeys, so that the donkeys cannot disturb them while they were to disturb the water to dirty the water while they were going to bring the water home. So those children are not, some of them they don't go to school because they have to go and look at water then. But there is also a progress report that I need to share with the committee, because some of the areas that often think that they do have same pipes, and the problem is the water quality of which the people they get from those water standards. Because there is odor. I remember at home, we don't even able to drink this water, because if you drink it, it's just having that bad smell. We don't want about this water, we don't drink it, even cooking. We can't cook with this water, but coming from the standard, because of the odor that is smelling badly from this water. And also we have reported those things to the municipality, but they said to us not about the pipes, maybe the quality of pipes that they are losing, or maybe the electricity, because some of the water is coming in from the reservoir because of the electricity that has to put the water to the pipe. But the problem there's no electricity, the water will be there for several days without going to the pump. So the people then will get those odor because of the chlorine that they are using. But I don't know whether we can leave all that, because we don't know what is happening there. And also the issue of illegal dumping of waste and medical waste from the hospitals is one of the issues that is also concerning in the area of Unzinga, especially on areas next to the hospital. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, but okay, that's more difficult because we can't deal with that. That's how it's the most. But bear that in mind. Okay, so that's the Unzinga area, and they can get quite effective support there.
Mm-hmm.
Ms. Fusana?
Thank you very much. Chairperson, I just want to make a follow-up on the question of bulk water in Dr. James Moroka municipality. We were told that there is a project that is on the ground and is dealt with by rainwater, and I've been looking for that project. I don't get that project. was moving around the Muritile area to make sure that is there any project of some kind that has been reported to us. There is no project up to this far. As councillors, councillors do not know that project. Can I be verified, Chair? That project was reported here, that there is a project in that area, and that area is still struggling with water. They use boreholes and so on. Can I be clarified? Okay. Matt Loma, have you got an issue on the right?
Yes. Around Cockstead, the townships around, and also around the townships in Devon, there is no water at all between 10 and 5 a.m. in all townships. And people are worried as to, are wondering as to why in the same...
Let's do Cockstead. Do Cockstead. What are... Cockstead, you say that...
My constituents.
The townships, they haven't got water.
No.
At all.
At night, no.
At night.
They always close the water at night.
At night.
And, until morning at 5 a.m. So are the townships...
What do they say? Why do they close the water at night?
Water,
only in the township.
Only in the township, yeah. In the clubhouse, the water.
Okay. So there's water available, but they close it at night.
Yeah,
that's your their problem.
Night,
okay. All right.
Yeah.
So let's leave that one, and then you can come your second charge. You can do the Durban one, okay?
Yes.
If I can just add, that's my hometown. The area that the Honourable MP is referring to is an area called Chaimoya, where there's a consistent problem with water flow. And I'm led to believe the reason is that they cannot fill the reservoir fast enough. So when the level drops below a certain level in the reservoir, they switch off the water until the reservoir is full, and then they reopen the water.
Okay, the reservoir capacity. Okay, we'll also listen to KZN about that. And then let me add one for the Western Cape, just so that we don't only have KZN and Northwestern. There's a desalination plant that has been put up in Lamberts Bay, I understand. It is a joint venture with the municipality, with the water affairs and so on. Now, that's all good and so on. But my interest is that when the plant is finished, it, of course, becomes or is run then by the municipality. And the maintenance cost of it is going to be $5 million a year. Have we, in our planning and stuff, made sure that these municipalities, when we hand over these infrastructure to them, have the capacity to actually do and pay that? Because I've looked at that municipality, and the first thing I noticed is that, hey, I'm not sure that this municipality is going to be able to. So we're going to give them this nice plant. I want to know what better plans we have. That if this thing doesn't, they can't maintain it, what do we do? I mean, we can't build the infrastructure and then, I know contractually, it's fine to say contractually they're going to do it, but I'm trying to see what are we doing as a department, our vision in terms of these things, that if their problems do start developing, what do we do? So I just like to... hear a bit about that issue. All right, now, Trevor, Mr. Balser, there's a whole lot of issues, mainly KZN, Northwest, Mpumalanga, and the Western Cape. I'll leave it up to you on how, which order you want to do it in those four. What we're really looking at is if you don't have answers, you just say, I can't get answers on this, and we'll try and get more answers. So don't try and just tell us what it is you know and understand. As I said, it's difficult to come to a meeting and don't exactly know what people are going to raise and have a full response. We understand it, okay? So as long as there's no bullshitting. I want no bullshitting. I know you don't know, okay? And if you don't know, you get me answers. Right. Mr. Balser, over to you, how you want to do it.
Chair, thank you. We didn't introduce the team when we came in, but you'll get to know them as they respond.
I'll introduce them.
I've got quite a large team here in that I have 9 regional heads here, plus I've got the cluster heads from infrastructure here as well. And I'll just ask them to put their hands up as I introduce them from the bottom end there. Do you both could see it from the southern cluster infrastructure? Abdullah Sayed, Eastern Cluster, Marina Stabilt, Central Cluster, Sidisa and Tidi, Free State, Portia McConnell, Eastern Cape, Ashley Starkey, KZM, Abe Abrams, Northern Cape, Chavito King from Northwest, Walter from the West Asian from Strategic Asset Management, Amy Smith, Gauteng.
He just stepped out.
Amy Smith, tall, bald-headed guy, he'll come back in a moment. Leonardo Manas from CD Infrastructure Operations, the Rata McQuena, CD R Big, Lucy Kwabe, Acting Regional Head Limpopo, Petunia Ramuneniwa, Acting Regional CD Regional Coordination, Cecilia Mashaba, Director of Water Services in Limpopo, Zandile Mata, Acting DDG Infrastructure, Zandile. Mandisa Matiso from Mpumalanga, Rashid Khan from Western Cape, Vincent Manene from my own office, and then myself, Peter Balsam. So, Chair, I will let the regional heads respond to those questions, but I will just give some context first of all, and I thank you for saying that. Don't try and respond to something if you don't have the answers yet. But some of the questions raised are not necessarily all within our domain. They are municipal issues which we would have to follow up on as well. But we'll certainly follow up on them to provide those answers. But just to put into context the issues where we raised the fact that there are some communities that don't have water supply at all and are still relying on having to go down to rivers and streams to or small dams to get their water supply. Those villages will be attended to through the MWIG program, the Municipal Water Infrastructure Grant Program. And that's a program that's been implemented over a three-year, over the eight-year period.
When you guys come to answering those questions, Mr. Balsa, if you know there's only 23 municipalities.
Yeah.
If there is MWIG money for that area, for the problem that someone raised, then say that specifically, okay?
Yeah.
When the regional reps, so that we know exactly that there is art, because there's only 23, so you must make sure these are the ones that are coming.
Okay.
I know you're making a general point, and that's fine, but I'm wanting to specify when we get to the specifics. Okay.
Honourable Chair, just to correct you, it's 23 district municipalities, and it's the local municipalities within those DMs that get covered. So, and then we take it down to a village level. So we must just bear in mind that the MWIG will deal with those. Lerato will pull up some of the information together with the regional heads on the specific villages that are covered. And so we will rely on getting some information back from the municipalities to report back. I will just cover the question that was raised by Honourable Wenger in terms of the Gauteng, the Sedibeng Regional Sewer Works. You didn't include Gauteng in your... in your summary, but the regional sewer works is the program is up and running. We've appointed Grand Water as our implementing agent, and we have a governance structure put in place, a three-tier governance structure, from the political steering committee through to a project steering committee and down to an implementation committee level, where all five municipalities are involved in that process. We have a implementation protocol in place, which has been set up in terms of the Intergovernmental Relations Framework Act, and work has indeed started. Lerato will be able to help me with just some detail. But in the long term, the regional scheme, which will cover the areas of Mfuleni, Lesedi, Sedibeng, Midvaal, is only due for completion sometime in 2017. But in the meantime, we're doing work on the upgrading of the existing infrastructure and increasing the capacity of the Mayerton and Sebokeng works. And those tenders or the contract for the Sebokeng works in particular, stuff was handed over on the 6th of August, and site establishment was due on the 12th of August last week, and I've got the scope of work if you're interested in the scope of work. And in terms of budget, at the moment budget set aside to the our big program for the Sedi Beng is 372 million over the MTF period, and for the Meyerton works an amount of 248 million over the MTF period. So that project's up and running. Starting
and we started all that with the municipalities.
Chair, yes. And that project was pulled back from the municipalities by arrangement of the minister through the PICC and with the premier of Gauteng. We're using land water to do the implementation. So the project, which is now the contractors that are on site, were secured through procurement processes which were run by the municipalities. But we've taken those contracts over, and Rand Water are managing those contracts now. So it'll be managed quite tightly against the budget that we've set aside. So it is up and running. Henny and Lorato will possibly can cover some of the issues around the actions, around some of the emergency works, and issues relating to fines and how the municipalities will be held responsible. I must say, however, that now that we've got an action plan in place, which is agreed with the municipalities, it's actually quite difficult to now go and fine the municipalities for not doing something when we actually have a plan in place and we're doing work. So you're in a little bit of a catch 22 there in terms of how you deal with that.
Now the stick, you don't need that same stick now. You're driving the process.
Correct.
So it's a bit.
We've pulled it back and we're now driving the process.
I'd rather make sure they keep going with you instead of punishing them.
Correct.
Much
And the longer term scheme, in terms of the regional scheme, that scheme is intended to collect wastewater from the Merton, Sebokeng, and from the southern part of Johannesburg. And in the long term, that effluent will be treated up to either a industrial quality water or right up to a potable standard, and be part of the water mix that comes back into the wild system. But that's a project in the order of 4.2 billion rand at the end of the day, and that's the one which I say, if all goes according to plan, is a 2017 completion. Chair, going on to the KZN, and on a request, Ashley, assisted by Lorada, to deal with both.
Can we get just make sure if there any of your people can add to that?
Okay, sorry.
Sedi Beng, that project, did you cover it, or did any of you want to add to that?
No, Trevor is covering it, Chair.
Okay, lovely.
Okay. Then with regard to the KZN ones, both the Sasonke and the issues raised in Msinga and also for Kokstad, I'm going to get Ashley Stocky assisted with Bilwato to just respond to that.
Swinger, is there something you wanted to add to that one? You're fine with that. It seems like quite a comprehensive. All right. So what you're going to do on that one, you just do, when I ask for a report, you know, I know what you can do. You can give me reports like this, it will kill us. So when I say I want a report, I want a two-page report. No more. Okay. So on this one, give a two-page report, just that we have a record of what all the nice things that Trevor has said, so that we have it on just a two-page on that, okay? All right?
Chair, if you don't mind, it's going to be a three-pager. That's what I've got in front of me, and that's what I'll give you.
Three-pager. You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
I don't want a report where all the annexes and stuff, and then you get a report like that's not worth it.
Yeah,
two, three-page report, one-page report is what we're looking for, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's the way I keep it on our record so that we can keep going.
Super.
Lovely. Okay, that one's gone.
So Ashley Stocky,
Sizonke,
Msinga, and Kokstad.
Morning, Chair. Henry, thank you very much. I think we start with Sizonke. Firstly, with Sizonke, issues raised with War 2 and 2018, I'll most certainly look at some of the municipal issues, and I'll most certainly look at the springs, the water tanks, the no water, etc. But I think just Sizonke, we need to know that there has been some stability in terms of the district municipality with regards to some of the leadership, and that has been one of our challenges. The MM and the CFO and so forth, we know that there has been, and we're getting much better cooperation with them, even in terms of processing our payments and so forth. And so that is one of the pluses. I think one
so all these issues are all municipal issues? Or some of them yours?
Maybe many municipal issues, Chair, but we will be working and I'll provide you with a
when you do a report, is what you must do is you must sit down with the municipality.
Yes, Chair.
And say, okay, we've got what are you going to do to provide problems in ward? There's this problem,
Yes.
What are you going to do? And then you must have somebody say to us, we've seen that there are plans that by this date they're going to put in water boreholes.
Yes, sir.
And it's a tender stage, or you know, so that we have a clear picture that what's going to happen. Okay.
Sure.
So when you're doing something from the municipality, you must sit down with them, go through the papers. I don't want their plans disattached.
Yeah.
I want you to look at it and say, and then where you say is, but the problem is there's still no provision made for water in X village, Y village. So that we have a picture of a pithy picture of walls going to be built, these are the times, tender stage, and then these, there's nothing. Okay,
yeah.
when you do this, okay.
Most certainly, Chair. And then just like with Umzum Kulu has made a specific reference, and the MWIG we set aside is about 10 million.
MWIG is in Umzum Kulu.
We've signed off the business plans, Chair, and the first payment of, we would have done the first payment tomorrow. Tomorrow. Chair, so we have that in place, and some of these issues, I don't have detail whether it's these villages, Chair, I would have to come back to you on these villages. So Umzum Kulu is plus or minus 10 million there about, you know, I'll give the details of that. Chair, I think with Sisonke, and just as the member would know, is that with regards to our big, the issue of Steve Lamini Dam or Bulwer Dam, perhaps the Bulwer Dam, that we intend to build in that area. Member, I think you are aware of that. That it is...
When?
Chair, it's at the planning stage. It's on the
cards
now, and we have a funding under our big for the construction. There is a planning committee.
There's money available, and you're at planning stage.
Chair, we're at the initiation stage. COGTA is intimately involved. We've got a special task team with COGTA, province, premier's office, ourselves, and a number of role players. So that is on the cards in terms of the...
And your time estimate, when do you want to at least break soil then? What is your...
Chair, I don't have the detail. We in the process.
Okay,
of
put that in the answer, okay?
Okay, I will most certainly do
the detail about with the Bulwer Dam.
So, Chair, quickly to summarize...
The Bulwer, you said?
Bulwer.
Okay.
It's actually Steve Lamini, but it will be Bulwer at this stage, okay? So, Chair, look at those three awards, and then also just to note the Emory funding, and then also to note that that Bulwer Dam will be constructed in the near future in that area.
Sounds like something's happening.
Chair, let's go to Singa. Firstly, just to note that in terms of our big funding, we have under our big, we have the Great Town Regional Bulk project, which is now commenced on getting water. We actually launched that project a few months ago with the CE and with the mayor and so forth in the area. Ma'am, I think you are aware of it there. We are at implementation stage. And that should, it's not going to deal with all the issues, but it will address quite a bit of the issues you've raised, ma'am. I can provide details. So that is the one that's chair. That project is at implementation phase. Getting water being appointed, tenders out, and I'll
what
give you
to
the
to
exact
what? Name. To put in?
The regional bulk water supply for the area.
Regional bulk.
Yeah.
So piping
and so on. Great town, yeah. So it provides for that area. We've been challenged, but that will unlock a lot of that. Our big funding is 950 million according to my report, but I can provide you with the details. Ma'am, with regards to MWIG, now just in terms of the short runs, we have 35 million under MWIG. We also have the business plans set in, and we're going to make the first tranche payments. There's about 5 million we're going to over this financial year. We are busy dealing with the details of some of these issues you raised. Some of these issues, ma'am, I will have to speak to the Nzinyati. And with regards to, you know, some of the water tanks, why the pipes, some of it are municipal issues, but if you could just allow me to get that detail. But just note the two positives. One is that Baytown is already started. We've launched that, and I think you are aware of it, and the MWIG fund in regards to that. Okay. And I'll look into the other details, ma'am.
Okay, also something there.
Chair, with regards to Coxton, again, Chair, I will have to look in, I'll have to speak to the municipality with regards to some of those areas. As member has indicated, some of the issues could be infrastructure.
This is a simple one, this. This is a simple one. This is the person that lives there says very clearly that the problem is it doesn't seem like there's capacity, so they're switching it off at night. So all that we need to find out is there's something being done to increase that capacity or supplement, and if not, then we must do something.
Well, certainly, Michelle, I will look at that. And remember, I will be in contact. Maybe I'll take the write-up window there. But I think just to note to Dave Coxon as well, we have under every funding for some of these type of issues, there's 12 million set aside. We've got the business plan. Over the next 3 years, we'll be looking at immediately trying to deal with some of these issues, Chair.
Okay.
I think those are my... Some of them are useful issues that I would have to go down and...
We need 3 reports, okay, for those 3 areas. So you'll do... It's a simple thing, you know, like you'll say, Arbic, you'll say, we've now been allocated, there's business lands, da-da-da, and we are going to put in a dam to provide water for this area. Mm. Now, if you do a little summary just like that, now immediately we know, and what are the timelines and so on, it's going to break soil by so on. With your Arwick stuff, business plans agreed, so many million, and this is what's going to do, it's going to put infrastructure in these villages. So just simple little under each heading like that. So we have 2-3 page that we can sort of keep on following up and see how it goes. But that seems in those 3 areas, it looks like there's some work being done in KZN and there's possibly some movement at least, okay?
Okay.
All right. Follow up on those 3, Mr. Rogers.
Thanks, Chair. Can we, under MWI, can we get some clarity on what the process and procedure will be as far as the tenders and the work concerned? Is it going to be controlled by the department, or is it going to be controlled by the local municipality or district municipalities? Because that's where the challenge lies.
I think we did add out a whole lot of documents to you. I remember I still used it in my speech on the R-Week. We must just pull those documents up, which gives you the actual wording from Treasury on what an R-Week is and how it's going to work. So there are those documents available, but I'm going to let them just explain to you how it works in practice. Mr. Balder, just how the whole procedure of M-Week works. You know, we are overall as a department in control, but clearly we do it with the municipalities. So the actual question is, who then controls the tender process?
Can you talk, Rossi? You want to go first?
Yes.
Just come closer to the microphone.
Lerato is managing that program, so it should be this one to respond to.
Thanks, Chair. The MWIC is a grant, which is a municipal water infrastructure grant. It's a Title V under the DORA, and it allocations to the municipality. But we do have experience on the issues of transferring money to municipalities through the transfer program, and we have tried to sit with Treasury together with the municipalities so that we can put conditions on those transfers. And that is what the framework has done. So we've got conditions of what the municipality needs to do, what water affairs needs to do, and what the water board, because our aim is to use water board
in
implementing the project. So we've got all the...
So what conditions do you put there for tenders? How does that work?
We sign agreements with the DMs, which are the WSA, or in the case where the local municipality is a WSA, the Water Services Authority, we sign the agreement with them. And in that agreement, we put conditions on the fact that when they have to go on, we have to know what the project is, what it is that we're going to do. So we sign a business plan to say, in this area, we are going to protect a spring, for an example. Or in this area, we are going to do a borehole. Or in this area, we are going to extend the reservoir. So the business plan is signed by both the department and the municipality. When they go out on tender, we sit in and check with them.
So you're part of the tender process.
When they take out, we make sure that the terms of reference of the tenders when they go out, because the funding is within the municipality.
But are you part of the bid committee?
Yes,
ma'am. Are you part of the approval?
Yes.
Treasury as well?
Treasury, not at this
time. So just you
and the municipality.
And
the
municipality, okay. Mm. Anything further, Mr. Rogers?
Chair, can I just add if I could?
Yes.
Chair, you'll recall when this grant was approved that there was quite a long debate around it being Schedule 5 or Schedule 6. Schedule 5 is a direct grant to the municipalities, and then we put the conditions on. And what Treasury has agreed is that we have looked see how we
manage in the first year of implementation to have a look at which areas maybe one could, if there are capacity issues, whether we could revert to the Schedule 6, which would be grant in kind, where the department would then run the procurement processes. So we're in a bit of a
experimental
touch and feel stage to see how it goes forward. But
can I suggest you feel and grab more than touch? Don't be delicate about this.
We'll definitely
grab and hold tight, and don't be too loose.
No, we won't be delicate
okay.
about it.
But you know, the problem in the end of the day, otherwise it starts reflecting badly on the department. Because we, and that's why we must rather be tight with our controls up front, and then relax once the capacity is there, not the other way around. Okay. So, Ufas.
Chair, so I just in context again, I remain, or the accounting officer for the department remains responsible for that budget. So
yeah.
We've got to keep a very tight control on it.
Yeah.
And the information that I've been provided from the ROTA is that while the first tranches should have been transferred now during the current month, not all of those have happened because in some municipalities the agreements are not sufficiently buttoned down and business plans aren't in place. So we're making sure that we don't create a problem for ourselves right from the start, making sure that all of the fundamentals, if I could put it that way, are in place for the program.
Ms. Wenger?
Thank you, Chair. I just fear that it does not become one of the airline's equitable share issues. Whilst I understand what the department is saying, I have a concern that once the project has been completed and handed over to the municipality and everything is in place, the capacity at municipal level, in order to operate it effectively and that it's functioning correctly, and we don't land up again with a white elephant because of the lack of capacity at local level. Is there something in the MBIC grant that create conditions where the municipality has to employ certain individuals, certain caliber, in order to ensure that the investment is protected and taken care of and is functional?
And I could
answer. You want to answer?
In the conditions, the issues of operation and maintenance of the infrastructure is taken care of. So that we don't want to be in that case where we are in this case as it is because O&M has been done. So we are putting one of the conditions.
So what you must do is, what Ms. Wenger is saying was very important, and it's the same question with Lambert's Bay. The issue is you guys must make sure that you give yourself the power to intervene. I understand that they must have, and you must give yourself the power to make sure that capacity can be built to run that thing. Okay, so you guys must maintain that power in the contract and so on, okay? I think that's what we're really raising. Mrs. Kusana?
Thanks, Chair. Chair, I'm very much comfortable about the response we got from the department. There is a progress. But what I can emphasize, as we have indicated, is that they must constantly be involved in the implementation of the project. They must not just say, we've signed a memorandum of understanding in implementing, hence they are not part of the implementation part. They must be. And also, Chair, I should think we must time to time get a report on this matter. As they are indicating that they are implementing project, we are quite comfortable as a committee. But we time to time need a report, a progress report thereof. For instance, we talked about many projects, Chair, particularly the project of Moses. We talked about the project of Moses, and we were told that it's on the implementation side. But you don't know how far have they gone with the project. I just moved next to the road and found a very big pipe. I just assumed that this is our project. When people are asking, I'm saying it's us because there are pipes. Those are pipes and pipes depleting water. But I should think the progress report is fundamental in this culture. Thank you.
That's exactly the point, is that we must make sure that this time, the M week, that we continue having a process of monitoring and engagement and intervention after this process, and we must make sure that those agreements have it in. Okay. Good. Let's move to whatever the next one.
Chair, the two that are remaining is first of all, Honourable Mangonia, in terms of Moses Cortana, and then the other one was is around JS Morocco. Mm. If we could just start with the northwest one, Chadwick and Arata, if they could just respond. Chadwick, come here, Chadwick.
Good morning to honourable members. We start with the Molatedi Dam project, where the government is supplying water to Botswana. An agreement was entered into some 28 years back between the three countries, Japan, Botswana, Botswana, and South Africa, which the South African government then took over upon the demise of the Botswana government. We have currently undertaken a survey, a hydrological survey of the yield of the dam as a result of the constant problems that we are experiencing in terms of the supply from that particular dam. On a year-to-year basis, we have to implement restrictions as a result of the low yield of the dam. The outcome of that study indicates that we have to scale down on the allocations to both Botswana and the South African water users. We have received this complaint regarding us not supplying water for drinking purposes in the South African areas. We are going to be re-looking at that because there was some irrigation allocation that was not actually utilized. We will be re-looking at that allocation from the Molatedi Dam to ensure that. Chair, as I said, we have completed the hydrological study. We are going to be engaging with our Botswana.
So what is the hydrological study? Do we have more water? Do we have too little water?
So according to the outcome of that study, we don't have more water. Hence I said we have to scale down on the allocations, and we are going to start negotiations with the Botswana through the Joint Permanent Technical Committee, which was established between the two countries. There is an agreement in terms of the outcome of the study that we don't really have more water to allocate from that particular resource. As we speak, we are contemplating restrictions once more, and we need to engage Botswana to say we can't allocate them the full supply of water as per agreement. However, that is contained in the rules within the contract that we have with Botswana. That when the dam level reaches a certain percentage, then we will implement restrictions. However, as I said, we are going to be revising the allocations, and we will look as to whether we cannot use the irrigation water for potable water supply. As for Moses Cortana, there are challenges in various villages. As you know, Ngobi is one of those that was also affected. We are looking at the bulk water project that will be supplying Pilanesberg. We've got two pipelines, the Pilanesberg North and Pilanesberg South. The feasibility studies have been completed. We have started with one leg of that particular project, and part of Moses Cortana will be benefiting from that project.
The water from one of those two pipes, from some of it is planned to go to Moses Cortana.
To Moses Cortana.
When?
And Moradele.
How long will it take to put in the infrastructure? What are your plans? Have you got budget?
Yes, in terms of the RBIC, we do have...
There are budgets to take there, and the time frame?
It's a two-year project.
Starting when?
We have actually started with the Johannesburg North Pipeline, and we should be finishing it towards end of 2014, beginning of 2015.
All right, so those are your longer-term plans. Now, what's going to happen for 2-3 years now?
Yes, Jay.
52 villages.
Yeah,
in Moses
Cortana, the department appointed the CCTA to assist with groundwater survey. Four boreholes have been identified. They will be equipped to increase the supply to this area. Chair, we were looking at getting sourcing funding for the equipment of those boreholes, which we have not
done. We don't have funding yet.
Currently, we don't have funding for it.
Okay, and what else?
We have had a discussion with Bakata Bakafela, who have some funds from royalties that they gain from the mines. They've got a business plan which we need to facilitate with the municipality so that whatever developments that they are planning should be integrated with the local economic development plan of the municipality. We haven't succeeded yet to get both Bakata Bakafela and the municipality together. But we did have a meeting with the Bakata. They presented their development plan, which I think will go a long way in assisting particularly those communities. May I also just add that in terms of the traditional authority of Bakata Bakafela, they have indicated that they would like to mobilize the other traditional authorities because they will be they don't want to seem to be the only beneficiaries in terms of the developments that are going to happen in that particular area, but they want to get the other traditional authorities also involved in the development of communities within Moses Kotahiyu.
Okay,
thank you very much, Chair. I must say the issue that the regional manager is saying is not new. I'm hearing is on Umobi, where is the nodal point of the president, is in Moretele. But where I'm coming from, I'm speaking of 52 villages, whereby even if we can go now, there is no water. All those pipes, those boreholes that he is mentioning, it has for God long time stopped to operate because there is no longer water in those. And I thought maybe they will come up with something that says now, here we are. All those things of Bakata, since the first premier was there, they've been saying that they will be joined with the municipality. Whereby they don't get proper answer, they should say so. Because what they are saying is what I know since I was there in Moses Kotahiyu. So,
Mr. Balsa, you have a crisis, whatever team, don't you? What's it called?
Rapid response team.
Can you send that rapid response team this week to go and look at, and Ms. Mangania give you the names of the 52 villages, and you go there and give us a proper report of these areas, what is happening there, what water is available, what's not available, and then your regional rep can then give us the 2-3 pager how the municipality is planning to deal or not deal with it. And then once we've got all that stuff, then we can maybe see what is the more immediate. I'm not yet so worried about the longer term stuff. I'm really worried about the more immediate stuff. Can we do it like that? Is there a possibility?
Chair, certainly we can. I've also having interactions with Collie's Water around some of the proposals they have to solve some of the issues in that area as well. But we'll do that report.
Yeah.
But if I could also ask the Rata just to talk around the regional bulk program for the Pilong area.
Do it briefly, the Rata, but I'm more interested. You see, all that stuff is going to come. But these 52 villages, we now are just sitting and it's on and on. And what I need to know is that I want someone to go and assess the situation there. And then the department, I mean, I'm not telling you what to do, but then you can see. If the municipality is not going to do anything in the foreseeable future, then the department will see what they can do. Whether it's engaging the tribal authorities, whether whatever. But, I mean, the one thing we can't do is come back to meeting the idea that still nothing has happened. And that there's sometime 2 years in the future, bulk infrastructure. You see, the problem with that bulk infrastructure, there's no indication that it's going to get anywhere close to these 52 villages. These are other parts of the province. So I want this rapid assessment to be done this week. And this week still a report to be given to say This is what we've seen about the 52 villages, Ms. Nganya. You have to link up to Luratu and the regional rep to give them the name of the 52 villages and your number so they can contact you if they need to get in there. Then we, once we've got that report, we can then also get the response of, we've now spoken to the municipality, this is what they have planned and this time frame, or they have nothing planned and 42 villages are still not going to have water and we are looking at the following, okay? Is that happy? Everyone happy with that? Ms. Wenger? Sorry, Mrs. Costana first, then Ms. Wenger.
What I like to say is that whenever we need a response, we want to have hope on what does. Must give hope so that we can be able to respond to the communities. Because if you don't give us hope, then which means even the community cannot get the proper response. But Chair, you are in order to say, let them go and investigate the problem and programatize the problem and come back and say, this is what we are doing in that particular area. I will be comfortable in that score. Thanks very much.
Okay, Ms. Wenger.
Thank you, Chair. I just have a concern with what the regional representative has said regarding investigating the irrigation supply towards potable water. Surely potable water and the requirement of the villages should have precedence under the irrigation requirements. And I think that's something that we also need to look at. Because, I mean, how long are we going to talk about this, where irrigation takes precedence over potable water? I mean, that should not even be open for debate.
Yeah, no, I think as a principle, you're 100% right. The problem, of course, if you've signed agreements with Lady Botswana and you've signed agreements with whoever, then that becomes our difficulty. But that is why I thought that clause in the legislation would then allow you to convert. But, you know, we've been very scared to do that. We've been very scared to use our teeth. At the moment, the department has got only false teeth. So every time it bites, the teeth come out, so you don't, it doesn't make a mark, you know, you just leave the teeth behind every time. But they're going to get teeth, we're going to put in real teeth for them, and with embedded in the, so it can't come out. Okay, so that is this one. This one is really a priority. We need to understand the problem through the rapid team, and then we need to get a report from you, how we're going to respond to it, okay, as a department. With whoever other stakeholders. Okay, next one was Morocco or something. Morocco.
Mandy, sir? Can you talk to you guys, Morocco?
Thanks, Chair. Morning, member. In Mpumalanga region, the project that is being implemented under the RDC Irene Water, Dr. J.S. Moroka, is currently on feasibility study, which is expected to be completed by end of September, which will be followed by a detailed design expected to be finished in the end of November. Construction is expected to commence, which is phase one, in February. Currently, we've got an allocation of $7 million. With an MTF allocation of 55 million, with 20 million for 2015 and 28 million for 2016. This project intends to take water from the Rattenhender Dam, but there is a project under the Gauteng RBIC, which is also implemented by Rainwater as part of the Western Highveld, which is also going to supply the Dr. J.S. Morocco. I think that is the one which is under construction. Maybe my colleague from Gauteng or Africa can assist in that one.
Who's going to sustain the water, him? The water, are you able to pull it up? So can we just pass by that one? We can just pull the information up and just come back.
Mrs. Kusana? Salapan? Any follow-up?
Yeah, no, Chairperson. I become really surprised to get the information that the project is in the visibility study program now. 2011, we're told that the project is constructed on the ground. Last year, I asked the question, they said, no, they are completed. this year earlier asked us, they said in the long-hanging fruit, the long-hanging fruit of quick wings, I was told that there is a project in Dr. Murop, and it was written, that document. Really, sir, I should think we need to get a clear understanding in the project. If they are saying the visibility study, by the end of this month, they will be completing. We should think, some years we must get the progress report. And we must not just come and talk about the project, it's on the ground, the visibility study, and thereafter it vanishes. After elections again, start talking about the project. We must talk about the project and the program of that particular project. Okay, two pager, giving us the full detail of which stages these are with time frames and money available, okay? Two pager. Yeah, long. Western Cape.
Good morning, Chair, and good morning, members, and good morning, people. Chair, this is a difficult one, because the department has a support mechanism, but it's not mainly for CapEx. The municipality approaches the Department of Water Affairs and say we need to build an infrastructure, we say, okay? We have our studies, and we do our, we call it IRS implementation, release studies, etc., and they hand a business plan to the department, and then we say, okay, let's see how much we can co-fund. So the department helps, and the municipality puts some money, and now the project is on the ground. As you know, the limit space is going to be completed. Detailed plans, about 1.7 megaliters a day, for about 16,000-17,000 people. So it's going to be ready next month. There are some delays on it because of some studies. They have to make sure that the water they're taking from the seeds is of good quality, pre-salinated, etc. Now, there's two issues raised here. One is the skills. We've put in a shared expertise in the Southern Cape, where we've put in close to about 4 or 5 detailed plans, as you know. And we've got a club, we call it the technical club, where we don't have expertise in each municipality like Nias, Naputo, Sedgefield, George, etc., and Muscle Bay. So we said, let's form a club, and that's what we've got. We share expertise because it is new expertise that we are going for. Yes, you're absolutely right, Chair, that we need to now do a skills development. So what we've done is we've done some sort of a process controller training, but we haven't gone deep into the desalination skills development per se. We've talked about it, but I think now we need to run a bit fast on it now that we have these desal plants operating already. The department has discussed the difficulty that municipalities have with operations and maintenance costs, because it's quite a modern, sophisticated equipment. You may be quite good at mitigating and adapting to climate change, but there's skills that's required. The second thing is to require finance. And we haven't seriously looked at as government, leaving on the Department of Water Affairs, to say, but we did discuss the Prime Minister and our people in our top management in the department, to say there's a difficulty in this funding of, and how do you drive this? How do you then operate and maintain? But I think the discussion goes a bit broader in terms of how do you manage your tariff, your revenue collection, your business of water supply. So, Chair, what I'm probably very indirect...
What I need you to do, Mr. Khan...
What am I going to do?
What I need you to do...
Thank you.
And this applies, DG, for all the other issues also Ms. Wenger had raised. It's these kind of projects where we hand over infrastructure. And with this easy, because you can attach conditions to it. This is not easy. I want you guys to sit down and see how you can meet with that municipality and how you can reach an agreement that on two levels, both in terms of the finances that are going to be available to pay for maintenance, as well on the skills, that there's an agreement that we're happy that this thing is going to be maintained, number one. Number two, if it's not, that we have the power to intervene. So you guys must sit down and use your leverage and then get agreements also on the intervention side of it, so that there can be interventions. For example, you know, if the skills are not, part of the agreement must be
that the council must sit down and agree that they're going to set aside 5 million in their budget or whatever to maintain that project. So you guys must come back with a report to me that is very clear that you have an agreement with that municipality that makes you happy that this thing is going to be maintained and looked after. Okay. This is a big job. This is actually going to impact also on a lot of other projects. So you guys must get it right the first time. Are you happy with that?
Sure, yes, I'm happy with what you're saying, but I must just indicate that when we enter into the RBIG projects, there's requirements in terms of the Division of Revenue Act that there is an agreement with the municipality and the municipality undertakes to maintain the infrastructure afterwards. Now, our ability to intervene afterwards is somewhat limited in that we wouldn't have a budget set aside for that. But what we are doing, we're dealing with these particular issues through the collaborative arrangement we have with cooperative governance at the national level. Following recent discussions between...
Is this an RBIG?
Sorry?
Was this an RBIG program?
This is an RBIG party funded. It's co-funded, RBIG, and sub-funding from the municipality. Despite it being co-funded, there's no requirement that the municipality undertakes to deal with the...
That's fine. Yeah. But all that I need you guys to do, I know all those things you're saying. What I need you now to do is go and think outside of the box. How do you pull together the whatever conditions are under RBIG, whatever is in the PFMA, to see what you can pull together to create an agreement with this municipality that is actually going to help us make sure that they pay and sustain and have the skills to do this. I'm not happy anymore that we sit back and say that when we did this, it's not big, and our big says that they must do the maintenance. I don't feel comfortable with that at all. I also understand the limitations on you guys in terms of the agreements that have been made and so on, but I need you all to be creative here. This is a municipality that I know well that is definitely not going to have the capacity to deal with this thing. This thing is going to fall flat. And what I need you guys now to do is go and look at PFMA, sit down with Treasury, see what is you could do to crawl back some of this. And then, of course, the interventions we understand are difficult. You don't have the budget for it, we don't understand that. But this is where we need creativity. We need this municipality to make sure that it commits the 5 million up front. That's why they have a problem with water all the time. We don't get them an agreement to admit it. Commit a fund. Then at the end of the day, when they have to make choices, they say, why was it paid for maintenance of a desalination plant? Let's use that 5 million somewhere else. Okay. I need you guys to be creative on this issue, okay? All right. Thanks. Huh?
Sorry. Thank you very much. I was just reminding the regional manager here, when they do the report, they should also touch my delay. Because we still have a serious challenge of water in Madiwe. I think yesterday the Premier was addressing people who are doing about the water. And then also the Mafikeng one, we know that as a province we don't have water. And also the one in Mafikeng is very much serious. Maybe when they bring the report, we mustn't touch it there and there. Because this wire raising this
but
wire...
But no, I don't want to mix up... All those others are important, but I don't want to mix it up with the 52.
Yeah,
let them come with the 52 with a rapid response that we see what the problem is, and then the other issues you raise, Mari Meng and Mafi, can add it as a second and third that comes later. Okay?
I agree, Chair. Why I was raising this one of Madiwe is because the Madiwe said that they were given the go-ahead to the tender. I think the department and Madiwe didn't agree who should appoint the tender. So I was raising it because it also affects the community. Thank you very much.
I have no problem with you raising it. All I'm saying is let's not link the two else. The 52 takes too long to come back, okay? So those ones, you can marry Beng and Afrikeng, add it as another ones that just need to be followed up and give us a report on it, okay? All right, Mrs. Fasana.
Chair, I just want to check with the acting DG Trevor.
about the relations of this regional director with the municipalities, because we have got many problems in relation to water in different villages. Now that one, I should think, is an issue for almost in many villages, plus minus 80%. Some of them water leak, some of them water, there's no water for 3 days. For instance, in townships like Kwamhlanga in Kangala region, they stay without water close to 3 weeks, no water in the township. I just want to check their relations. How do they operate with these municipalities in order to assist this challenge that they have? Thanks.
I'll let regional heads give us some responses there, but I must also, just while they are preparing themselves to respond, also indicate that the public cooperative governments has a responsibility as well. And they've in fact been funded and established a municipal infrastructure support agent to actually provide that type of support. And when we go in with our rapid response unit, it's in conjunction with the NISA as well. So it's not only from our side, DCOP and the cooperative governments at a provincial level have to play their role as well. But from a national level, you've got NISA that comes in, and then we have our RRUs which operate on a decentralized basis. But we try, and yesterday the team presented me with a long report of 102 odd municipal areas where we've either detected problems through the service delivery protests that have taken place, and others where we on a reactive basis have anticipated where there could be problems and engaged with those municipalities to sort out. But we also spread thinly on the ground, trying to support 280 odd municipalities from our 9 regional offices. It spreads us out quite thinly. But generally, that's the way. I don't know if one of the regional heads wanted to just...
I suppose what's new, really, is the creation of your rapid response and this unit in COCTA with things that didn't exist previously. And I think we need to give those things a chance also to see how they start functioning. Because the problem was, if you ask our regional heads, it means, let's say in the northwest there's 50 municipalities, it means that that regional head has to create 50 relationships with those municipalities. Whereas at least with these more centralized structures and interventions, the regional heads can also start looking at more playing an identifying and empowering role, whereas the interventions then come specifically through the rapid response of the other structures. So I suppose we need to take that into consideration also, Mrs. Kosana, that there's a whole lot of, in response to these problems, new things have been created which we need to give some time to see how they operate and work in practice also.
Can we get quite hands-on involved as well? Portia can speak to the experience that she's had now just this past week dealing with the Makana local municipality, and in particular the problems experienced there where many of the residences at Rhodes University were without water. And the fact that we had technical staff on the ground working with the municipality, working with Amatella Water, who become part of our rapid response unit to resolve the issue. But then you find that you're dealing with infrastructure that was put in there in the 1960s, so you've got infrastructure which is way beyond its design life, but is still operating, and they're trying to keep it together on a shoestring. So now trying to do those repairs. So those are the issues which you've got to deal with that aging infrastructure, which repairing it and doing some first aid work on it becomes quite challenging. In Grandstown situation, the Makana situation, they had 2 pumps there, both of them went down at the same time, and they've only been able to reinstate one. So you on a very wobbly state at the moment, where that pump goes down, you're going to be without water again while they get the standby pump in place. But the teams are on the ground, and they did, if it wasn't for the intervention of our teams, I don't think that the municipality would have resolved the issue as in the time that we did, albeit that wasn't quick enough.
I'm with you. And now, I got a call here from one of the MPs about this, and we got them to phone people quickly to see what we can sort out. And that's what I'm saying is, they are new capacities that we created. And what we must do as a department now is to see how we fit into those capacities and how we can direct those things. I mean, you know, this thing that the regional head starts intervening in all 50 municipalities, it's impossible. You can't physically do that. So these other structures, we have to see how we can capacitate and make them work better. Okay. And as I said, in the past, like this desalination thing, in the past we just left that thing. Now we must find more innovative ways to make sure that we're not just leaving it, that 3 years down the line, the next chair doesn't ask questions about these things, and then we say, yeah, but, you know, this is an RBIG and there's no place for us to intervene. No, no, no. It can't be like that anymore. Because we know we're going to sit with the problem in the end. So let's try and do something before we sit with the problem, okay? Okay, there's a lot of good that came out of that. Are there any other... I want to move on a bit to environment. I mean, I know there's a lot of other issues, but are there any other burning constituency issues that anyone wants to raise? Mr. Rogers?
Thanks, Chair. Just to perhaps carry on from what you've said, one of the challenges we have, and I've raised this before, is the dysfunctional district municipalities that are the water authority. And they become a burden to us. And it's my worry that we can have all the teams in the world assisting them, but if we're not capacitating them, or in fact, removing water authority and putting boards in who are geared and have got the capacity to run water, this is going to be an ongoing problem and an ongoing debate. I'll give you an example, Chair. I discussed it with you and Trevor. I went on an oversight visit of Ugu because there's water challenges there. The department, Ashley was there and it was a great meeting. Ugu didn't even bother to pitch. I've subsequently written to the municipal manager to say I'd like an overtime visit. I was told I'm a politician, I must stay out of these district municipalities.
Yeah.
That's the sort of arrogance and the attitude that you get. And we shouldn't accept that, Chair. It's just, it's unacceptable. With your permission, I'd like to raise an issue that...
Now, what you must do is regional heads must know that, you know, obviously this is an issue we take on lightly in the sense that clearly the local government has responsibility. And we can't tell them what to do. But on the other hand, we're not prepared to sit back and let nothing be done. And so if the regional offices have problems and you can't solve them, these kind of political problems I'm talking about, and you can't solve them through your top management and so on, then you must use this committee to try and intervene as well. Obviously, this to be in the most serious cases, but I think we must... We must start accepting that without disrespecting people's mandates and powers and authorities, we can't sit back and let things not happen anymore. That's just unacceptable. And I just think this thing kind of response in Hoogie is the typical brainless response that you have in some instances where people are trying to get things done and then to see it basically as politicians getting involved. Oh, politicians must get involved. That's the hell. That's what we paid for, is to get involved and get things done. So please, let's make this thing work, okay? On the basis that Mr. Rogers has suggested, we need to find this Oogie thing. Has that still not happened? All right, now, KZN. Where's KZN? You say that this committee has asked you to go to Ugi and to find out what? Ugi. And to find out what those issues are there and what their solutions are going to be, and you send us a report on this, the kind of issue that was raised previously that they didn't want to operate with, so that we can follow up on this issue as well. Okay. Mr. Rogers?
Thanks, Chair. Then with your indulgence, if I can deal with the matter outside of my constituency, but it's a challenge. There's a municipality in the Eastern Cape, Bavion's municipality, that draws water from a farm called Van Hoop in the Western Cape. Without going into a lot of detail, because I'm sure some of the people around this table, Mr. Khan and Trevor, know about it. But again, I'm not getting any answers and I'm not getting solutions. Water licenses were applied on the farm Van Hoop by Bavion's. Four of the water licenses that were applied for, 9 months later, there's still been no response. This particular area now goes into its dry season, and that municipality is going to have challenges. So my question is simply, Chair, I know the history behind it, I know the farm was sold. I'd like to know why it's taking 9 months for a water license to be approved for a local authority. Thanks, Chief.
Who is this? Eastern Cape? Western Cape?
Western Cape.
Mr. Khan?
Thanks. I think the honourable member that raised it was dedicated enough to phone me and we had a chat, and it's on the border of the Eastern and Western Cape, and Beyond Kloof is Eastern Cape municipality, and they own the piece of ground in the Western Cape. So for the last many years, they owned that land and they took water from the ground. Groundwater, and they used it, and we call it lawful use. And you don't need a license for that. So the problem, the actual problem there is not a license. The actual problem there is that they are not allowed to use the water from the ground on a property that they owned and sold. So that is the issue. So I gave them a letter, and letter that I referred to a letter that I gave them earlier.
I'm completely confused. Who is using water that doesn't own it anymore?
People
own the farm.
The municipality owned The municipality owned this land in the Western Cape,
okay.
Just across the bank.
Yes.
And for some reason, the municipality sold it to a private owner now.
Yeah.
But the fight is between the private owner and the municipality who wants to use the water from the ground.
So the municipality still wants to use the water on the farm?
That's right.
Okay.
So I went there about a year and a bit ago, and try to resolve it, because there are a lot of lawyers involved. I asked that please let's just look at the technical. There are three issues: the technical, the management, and then the legal. Now the technical side is that they have lawful use of the water, so they don't need the land.
The municipality.
In the title deed it says there that the water then shall be used by the municipality.
Okay. So they still have the water.
Yeah. So it was clear, but the legal aspect was, they said, all the water. Now, when I asked the question, what is the technical meaning of all the water in the title deed? Mm. That will have to be assessed on a technical level by expertise, groundwater expertise people in water affairs. So I had a person there, a specialist groundwater person, to say, how much of water will they use? So we quantified it. So we said, that quantity is now your lawful use for the municipality to go onto that property, another person's property, and to then use the groundwater from there. Now there's a problem with entering another property. So there's two issues. One is using the water, and then the servitude. So I said that doesn't belong to the Department of the Water Affairs. You've got to go to court and get a servitude. And it's, please go and get a servitude, because that is a matter of, if you have a fire on the farm and you're pumped and everything is burnt out, you won't have access to it, and who takes responsibility for it? So if I have a servitude, hands off the servitude, you look after that property, and it's for the municipality to then use. So that is what was my advice. So the suggestion was that get a servitude and you have lawful use and go and use that water. If you have, or when you want additional water, which is not the main problem, the additional water will give you a license for, but look at this first. Try and get access to the lawful use. Now the owner, now that's the one part from the municipality. Then the owner also approached to say they are stopping the municipality because the municipality is stopping the owner using water. So I advise the owner and the municipality that please don't talk to each other. And I'm not going to enter into a neighborly fight. You apply to the Department of Water Affairs if you need water on the property, not to the municipality. So we quantified the amount of water the municipality can use and said that's your lawfulness. And if you want extra water, apply to the Department of Water Affairs, which they did. The owner did not apply to the Department of Water Affairs. So then I said, then you are not being considered for a license. Closed. So when you apply, we'll consider your license. Now the last part that is remaining now is, after they do the first step of getting the lawful use access, getting the servitude, maybe the servitude first before you get to use the water, but they can't stop using the water because the municipality needs the water. So I said, please carry on. But it's very important between yourself and the court, you get a servitude. So it's not the Department of Water Affairs. And this is what I advise. And this is where we are, but unfortunately, it's still
a no application now.
There's an application for the from the municipality, for the applicant.
And
for additional water that they want.
Additional water to the water that
yeah, over and above the lawful use. Yeah.
The one that your expert quantified.
Yes, that's right. So we are saying that's the amount
where
of water.
Where will that water come from?
They're looking at it from that property. So
how can you give a license for water on that property? It's their property.
You're absolutely right. That's the conflict. We said, don't look at all the water needs for the municipality. Fund this property because that's the only amount that
they
we can...
They want a license from you. They can ask you for a license from where you have water
correct.
Available. But I mean, if your expert has said that you can only have that much water in terms of that agreement
correct.
Or the title deed from that property... I mean, I don't know how you
we regard that as lawful use because we're using it. We regard it as lawful use because we were using it for a lot of years. So
no, but that's a title deed. That's a legal issue. Anyway.
Yes.
That's not you've not given it.
You've just quantified the amount.
Correct.
So at best, what you can do is re-look the amount. Let the expert go and look and see what all means and quantify it. If they say there's more water allowed to be taken, then you don't need a license. You just need that quantification.
You're absolutely right. What my last word on that was that the amount of water we quantified, our specialists have said that is what you can use, amount of water you can extract from groundwater.
What that quantity is like
a third or a half or 80%, how much water can they use for that farm?
For now, it will serve the need.
Huh?
It will serve the need for now.
So why are they applying now for more?
Now, I said you cannot get it from this property.
Yes, no, I know that.
But you're saying if it serves the needs for now, why are they applying for more?
They have quantified that this is what will be their projected use. And my question, and this is where I'm wanting to underline what you just said, that don't look at this property only, because that's the quantity we've quantified that you can use from groundwater on this property. But they, in their deal with the neighbor, they're only looking at that property for the future water needs. And I said, that cannot be because we have quantified that. That's lawful, just go ahead and use it. But please get a servitude because we cannot help you.
That's not an application for license. That you can't give water of another person to them. It doesn't. You don't own it as a government.
Chair, I think it's a matter which is going to require some discussion outside here. We can take water off another property from a municipality. But there has to be negotiation and agreement between the property owners around access, etc. Water, in a sense, in terms of the way the National Water Act is couched, is that water has been nationalized. So any water use, you require some form of authorization. So it would be a legal water use if it was being used prior to the enactment of the current act, or be a licensed activity in terms of any new applications. So if there is no water around on other adjoining properties and you have to go onto that farm, we would have to engage with the owners of that that property to see how we can extract more.
Okay. Now that's all complicated. Can I ask that, it's really legally complicated. Can I ask that you guys send us a 2-3 pager, and then also how you're trying to resolve it into future? I mean, I'm like a bit flabbergasted that one can just go and take water off someone's land. Okay, that's easy. In all the legal principles that exist, it wouldn't work like that. But I mean, if the access, it can be like that. Well, that's interesting. Okay, but I think what we need to do is a report, and then also how you're trying to take this matter forward. I think that's the more important part. Okay, to try and resolve this issue and take it forward and so on. And in the process, that municipality must get the bloody servitude done. You know. Okay. All right.
Sorry?
It's not debated.
So it's done? Yeah. Oh, well, that helps.
It's not
debated. That helps. Well, that helps then. Okay. That helps. All right. Let's get that report and let's see how we can take this thing forward. Okay? Look, there's still a lot of issues. I'll speak to the Western Cape issues to Mr. Khan. I'm worried about this Clan William thing. It seems to never be going nowhere. But I'll talk to you separately about that and about another problem we have there with some workers that used to work for you apparently. But I'll raise those things separately time-wise. Okay. All right, look, I think that was a useful... I hope that Ms. Dawood has captured everything for us and that we've got a record of it. And then Mr. Balta, you guys hopefully will go and do those reports for us on that. I hope that this has indicated the kind of thing that we'll do in future to really try and get these processes to move for us as a committee to start playing a role in service delivery issues.
to what extent we can without directly interfering. And I want to make that quite clear. When my members ask me, Guy, Mr. Rogers, for example, had a whole lot of issues, I have no problem referring them to you, and as I discuss with Mr. Rogers and I discuss with other MPs, all that we must do is be quite careful in the process that clearly we can't go and give instructions to any department or any municipality. But what we will do as a committee is we will oversight and we will ask questions about how things are getting done and why they're not getting done and so on. So that is our job. It's not an add-on or a nice to be. The mere fact that we haven't done it to the extent maybe that we should have in the past doesn't mean that we shouldn't be doing it. So I think that we're going to use this more and more. When members have specific constituency issues, they raise it with me and we decide how to raise it, and I usually just let the members directly interact with the DD so that there's a direct line of communication how we do these things, because these things have to get done. We can't sit and wait here as a committee every 5 months when we have a meeting to sit down and discuss problems. They're ongoing issues. So we want to continue with this process. I want to thank the department for the spirit in which they're handling the thing. And obviously, I know the complexities of these things. I mean, when you don't have the power to do some, you don't have the budget to do something, it makes it difficult. But we have now gone a step further in our country. We've created new structures, we've created new procedures, we've created new mechanisms to start dealing with it. And so hopefully this will be an ongoing process. I hope that these reports, what is it now, August, I hope that these reports will be at the end of September. All these 2-3 page reports, you should have been able to consult and do all your work. Please make sure that these reports are not meaningless, folks, when you write them to us. It's no use writing general stuff. You know what we're interested in. These are the things that are going to happen. I don't need detail about them, but we are going to build a dam. We have a budget. We are now at the implementation phase. We're going to break the soil on this and this date, and we hope to finish the dam by that. So that our members then have the capacity to at least interact and say, okay, I can see this happening. The municipal stuff, you must consult with the municipalities, and you then, in your report, write what's going to happen from the municipalities. Don't attend their documents and there and so on, and I have to wait through those things. I want you to look at it and you to assess it and you to give us your response. Where we've asked questions and there are not any plans, spell that out clearly in the report. You know, Mr. Rogers asked Ward this and that. Now, if you see that the municipality has no plans for Ward 2, then you say, in Ward 2 there are no plans whatsoever, so that we know that that is a problem, okay? Or there are these problems, they're going to put boreholes in this village, they're going to do this and that and the other, okay? So please, guys, be very, very accurate with your reports, but short and spitty, and just the type of information we need. We don't need all the other fluffy stuff about whose granny is going to get water and whose grandmother is going to get, I'm not interested, just those bands, okay? Alright, so I thought it was good. Is there anything from the members that you want to raise before we let water sail into the sunset, Ms. Ferguson?
Thank you, Chair. I do apologize for coming late, but I went to my other committee first. But I realize that this is extremely important, the issue that we have here. I'm not only going to full detail because I know that I can engage with the South and the department, but from the information that I have, there are some key crises in Mpumalanga, particularly in Limpopo, Mpumalanga, particularly in the Bushbuck Ridge area, and we brought this to the department before. People are without water in an area like Limpopo. Besides the fact that the non-payment of the ridge, water being cut, there's a serious shortage of water. And then also in Limpopo area, there are certain areas that only get water on a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Can I suggest?
I'm going to talk to the department.
Can I suggest, yeah, it's too general.
There's a lot of
too general. What I need is village
Everyone can kind of afford it. Taking rainwater, I mean, That's why we need some time to debate, and I'll bring up to speed on Newcastle tomorrow, Mr. One. We've got, I'm doing an offsite visit to some of the ASAP, you know, some of the wastewater treatment works that we're busy refurbishing for Newcastle Sunday tomorrow. How you approach. But when you're there, I just let you go. I'll come and bring my team, we'll take you where you want to go. I'll arrange that. If I come to the authority from the committee, I will go to the
Yes. see last week, they just said, if we want to, we stay in the Western Cape.
Oh, yeah. You get a message.
I also said, not acceptable for the photos.
So that's all we have. chairperson, we were not sure exactly what was going to be needed. So we think we'll try and navigate the questions that we're going to.
Okay. Kesha, environment. Want to start, Ms. Wynne?
Thank you, Chair. It's about city green again and the equality. And the station that has to be but non-operational. And when it's operational, we can't get rid of it. It is one of the most polluted areas in the country. I'd like to know what is the status quo with the air quality monitoring station. The readings are being taken now. Who are the main producers and what action is being taken?
Next, Lucy, Ms. Mangania, Mr. Rosses.
Thanks, Chair. Mine is just to talk about the issue of the polluting of the rivers by the municipality. I don't see where that is fall. I really have a question to ask. Because in Mafeking, the municipality can't service the sewer. They are not working. So they just send the all the things are, the nonsense are running to the water.
You must send that to the youngsters here in the Western Cape. They use it and throw it all over the place. They need stuff to throw in there. So if you can send it down to these crazy youngsters, yeah, like throwing that stuff around, you know. At least when top plays it runs into the river. Alright, so that river there, the pool running in the river, Western Cape, they throw it around. Mr. Rogers?
Thanks, I've really got three just brief things. I'll just do all three in one. We have the same problem in this area called Tamoya and Cockstep, where we've got a terrible problem with sewer, and it's not a recent problem. It's a problem that's been going on and on. The sewer actually runs through people's homes. It's not isolated. It literally, I would say, affects 40% of the area. It then runs into the Manzanyama and Manzanyama and there's one other river. In the town, of course. It runs into both those rivers, and those rivers then run past Mount Aleph, Niski, and those communities actually rely on that water. So there's a huge problem there. There's also trenches that have been dug, 3-meter trenches, throughout this area trying to address the problem. But the work's never been done. These trenches are just lying around 6 months. In fact, about 4 months ago, an 8-year-old child fell in one of the sewer drains, and luckily it wasn't fatal. The other question I have is related to poaching in the areas Richmond, Highlands, and Harding. It appears there that there's a syndicate of taxi drivers who are using this as a method of gambling. It's not poaching for the pot. It's a form of gambling where they buy these greyhound dogs in Maritzburg, bringing them up, and then hunting on farms and betting substantial sums of money on who, which dog brings down the biggest buck. Apparently the farmers in the area have tried to engage with SMVEO on the matter, but they just tell them they're limited with resources and limited with finance. It's a problem that's escalating and something that I believe we need to deal with. It's got a negative side. If the local farmers try to stop it or try to engage with the taxi drivers or the hunters, the next thing that happens is they set the farm alight. And there are cases of this happening in the areas that I've just mentioned, Chair. And then finally, just perhaps a question to yourself and the committee. I believe our rhino hearings are off. I just want you to know, is there another plan B? Because, excuse me, the problem is escalating, Chair. And I think we need to try and be proactive and show the community out there that we are trying to solve the problem. Thanks, Chair.
Yeah, sorry, you're quite right. I forgot you when I spoke about the program about the rhino hearings. It's not off. What happened is that every single date we've given, not a single one of the, and Ms. McCourty, I think, has an update. Every time we choose a week and we then apply for it, then the Kruger doesn't have the space for it. And then there were some individual interventions where people wanted to take us elsewhere, which I wasn't aware of, but I've become aware of it, which also had fallen through. So the question actually is not to really want to find a time and a place and to find a, so one of the things I wanted to raise, and I'm glad you've now raised it, is the other possibility for us is not to look at, you know, going to do it at Kruger or somewhere, to do a workshop here in Parliament, and for a few days, maybe be easier to do that. So what I've done at the moment, I've targeted January, at the end of January, there's usually a committee week of two. That and the climate change, I've now moved to there to see if we can't target that and try and finish legislation this term. So I'm still really into it. I still want to try and get us to do it. I want to engage around those issues. But as I say, and maybe Ms. McCaw can tell us, I think your last message was to me that it was booked up till February 2014 was your last confirm what?
We have that week that we confirmed accommodation for Chief. In terms of January, that is the message that we got from the sense of booking. Because it relates to the currently.
Yeah, but now you see, we must deal with sense of booking. I mean, we, yeah, you know, this is called the Portfolio Committee of Environment and Water. And they oversee sandparks. You would wonder, you see, what worries me about the good doctor is that if someone wanted to come and take up my rhino issues, I would move heaven and earth to have them there. And all I'm getting is technical answers about the accommodation being full and so on. Now, of course, that is a reality, but you would have thought that these guys, like, want us to take up the issue for them. And I would have thought people would make some steps to try and get things done and make arrangements, but clearly for me, from St. Park's side, they're just a blank. I have to assume, therefore, that, you know, these guys are not really keen on us to get involved with this. Because I'm not seeing anything from their side, like any effort whatsoever, to try and say, but we're going to move these other people out. We're going to say that there was a storm damage and they can't come on holiday. No, I'm just trying to say, I really find it extraordinary that people have moved heaven and earth for us to have this meeting. Because here you have all the role players that we want to hold together and say, what is your solutions? And these guys will all stand fast, will have a free audience to listen to and to be heard. So I find it very etiquette. Now you know where the problem is. I'm trying to sort it out. It looks like in the end we'll just have to call a workshop here for 2 days or something and forget doing an oversight thing at the same time. But it's not off the radar, Mr. Rogers. It's still fully there. Okay. All right, Mr. Scutana?
Chairperson, thank you very much. Chair, I just want to check the management of waste at the municipality. I know the competence of this, but the manner in which our towns are in fact having this waste management scattering around and so on, maybe you will ask yourselves, who is responsible in dealing with it? But the municipality, I failed him, that's my failure. I was at the Somerset West, in the informal settlement, that I don't know what to call that.
Luanda.
Yes. You see that area.
Down at the bottom from some of the
yes, that area is dating, literally dating. We're doing door to door then, in the street, everything. You see, it makes up the condition in that area, really. But I just want to check, do we have inspectors from national level that are checking these issues of waste management or not? And second,
but what's going to help us more, Ms. Kosan, if we have specifics, like you said, Thomas said waste, okay?
Yeah.
But we need specifics where we can see the problem, like the other the one, Moya.
Moya.
That he mentioned about the sewerage.
Yeah.
You know, there's like specifics that we can send them to go and get a report for us. The problem is the general term is difficult.
Settlement.
And I know that, but what we must do with this constituency question
yeah.
is to fine-tune them to go to specific areas.
Yeah.
See? So let's just remember that, okay?
Yes. Now, another issue is the department is having a very good response strategy for issues in relation to rhino pollution. And they have got the security there, helicopters. But we just want to check, where problem lies about this thing of daily rhino poaching. sometimes they do have sacrifices, so I just want to hear that.
Okay. Ms. Ferguson?
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. Three in the Popo in Makado, I think that's pronounced correctly, Makado.
Mm-hmm.
The infrastructure decaying, and then as a result, there's no waste collection. It's an affecting the environment. People are saying that there's diapers being dumped on the road. It's all ending up in the rivers, and there's no nobody coming back and saying what's happening with the environment. How is it affecting us? And then in the Western Cape, and it could be argued that it was because of all the rain, but in the area of Philippi, besides people walking in knee-deep water, there's just waste and running down the streets, particularly sewage, and people are really concerned about this and concerned about their health and things like that. Thanks, Chair.
Okay,
does
that mean others? Now, I've had a problem referred to me as the Chair, which I think I've passed on to you. It's this issue about the Amadiba community and mining of titanium in the Amadiba. Now, I'm not going to speak to the merits of a complaint because I don't do that as a Chair. I'm very careful to do so. But are you guys involved with this Amadiba issue and the monitoring and checking if there were titanium licenses granted there, they're not going to create the damage that we stopped the St. Lucia stuff because of. You know, it's no use we stop St. Lucia and we bug out the rest of the province. Are we on to this issue of the Amadiba and their complaints and so on? Look, some of it, as I say, I'm not going to express my views on because some of it is, you know, they express a view that we don't want development. Now, I think it would be stupid for any government person to say we don't want development. We want development, but it's be done properly and so on. So that's why I'm saying I'm not expecting the view. I'm looking at whether we are looking at the consequences of these licenses and whether we're playing any role to mitigate the ecological problems with it. That was the one area, one issue that I...
Can I ask you,
it's the Kolobeni titanium mining as part of Save the Wild Coast. You know that one? And it's Richards Bay in KwaZulu-Natal, that area. Did we send the complaint? Did we send it to the department?
To
Beryl. No, we must send it straight to the DD. I'm quite happy for Beryl to follow up. But we must, you see, if I want to speak to these things, I must go to the DG, all these complaints. But DG must then delegate. You see, the first thing I want DG to know is that there is a complaint. Where she delegates it to, I don't mind. But this one, if you don't have it, there is a complaint and we'll then let you have it, okay? Then what is the other one? Well, let's answer those. I think just should we just check me if there were other environment ones as well except that one? Didi, the Sidi Bing, the Cortana, the Moya, the Greyhound Dogs, the Makata Dog, the Philippi, and the Amadiba, and then there were some general issues as well that was raised. Any responses to those?
Thank you, honourable members. I would like to start and I'll allow my colleagues to follow on. But Afwan also said that we will have to give you further details in terms of the report. The City Bank Air Quality Monitoring Station, as far as I'm aware...
Oh, sorry, can I add another one? Oh, no, it's not you, it's water. Okay, sorry, go on. Sorry, I apologize.
Okay, sure. It is operational. However, I think the Honourable Member is indicating that there's been problems with the functionality of the monitoring station, which I can say we can investigate. We will certainly come back and report.
report to the committee. From the profile that I can recall in respect of the key content in the delay area, we had more particulate matter and the sulfur that SOX concentrations which were high. And what the department is doing now is to then have more consistent monitoring as to whether there is a tapering down in order to reduce based on the undertaking that has been taken by the key players in more the industry. But also we have more problems with indoor pollution in the areas of the debate. So I think the details in terms of exactly what is the latest profile, we are monitoring as far as I'm concerned through the SAQIS, which is the air quality information system, the profile of the pollutants over time.
But she's saying that thing doesn't work often, and when it does work, they can't get information.
Yes.
It's very practical. What are we going to do about that?
We'll check that, Chair, and Isham wants to add on and provide more information, but I think we'll have to come back even after the response that has been provided. Then on the issue...
Okay, Isham, let's finish this one. Isham?
Chair, in terms of the monitoring station, they were brought for specific municipalities to look after. I think once again become the municipal issue. And we have a difficulty in that sense because the stations were brought for the purpose of monitoring air quality in the municipality. But the rider to that is that they have to maintain and look after them. What we're finding also is that there's a lot of vandalism around the air quality stations. They're stealing the protective covering, actually damaging the station, but we've got a process in place in the department where we're re-looking at the monitoring station, exactly which ones are monitoring, how many of them are monitoring, so it is in hand.
But do you see what my problem is with your answer? If we're responsible for air quality control, ultimately to give the report, and if we don't make sure that those things are in good working order, then our information is absolutely useful. See, that's the problem.
That's true.
So again, you see, we must go and find innovative ways of making sure that when municipalities take over infrastructure, what ways can we make sure that there's quality control, that there's the necessary capacity, and that there's spatial intervention. Ms. McCoy?
Yeah, I think that's it. You know, what the problem is that the station was secured for 2 years without providing maintenance in the budget line to the integrated plant. I also just want to clarify that we do not use monitoring stations in terms of enforcing individual policies. The monitoring station is about ambient air quality. So it's located in areas that measure the ambient air quality. It doesn't track it back to source. For that, the emission license system is utilized, where you have emission limits defined in your permit, and that gets enforced at that source.
So they don't comply with it immediately.
Yeah, you comply with it immediately. So the SACRA system is about ambient air quality, and the AELs are around enforcing emission limits at source space. In terms of data analysis in the Vaal priority area, there is a significant contribution overall as a relation to type of industries that we have here, which is particular chemicals and the coal-based chemicals. But in terms of the particular factor, the biggest problem actually is a household combustion during the winter months specifically, where we have household combustion of low quality coal and the indoor quality that people was referring to, as well as sulfide, specifically this time of the year, is a major contributor to particulate matter, which from a health perspective, in short term and upper respiratory diseases, is a bigger problem than the NOx and SOx, which are climate change impacts, which is over a longer term. So there is a mixed point in terms of how you deal with source versus ambient.
And you do remember that before the end of the year, we're waiting for that report.
Yes.
Before the end of the year, we're going to have a report on
on counted smog and mine dust. Mm-hmm. They're going to come with a concrete plan.
Yes, yes, Chair. But I also think we need to also state to the committee that in terms of the NDLF quality monitoring, not all government stations are reporting to SACWIS, which is our initial first problem. Because if you have fewer stations reporting, you then don't have the sense of the broader governance in the top of the air quality. So we are at this point in time trying to intervene, but as was saying, the problem is partly that some of that infrastructure is not operational for various reasons. And the question is how do we then rapidly deal with those in order to make sure that they come on stream. And I think the same issue that has been raised during the water affairs discussion about how we then ensure that where there is already an investment, that investment is protected and it continues to operate throughout its life cycle. So I think we would have to think, unfortunately, our budget line is so limited that it is difficult to then provide a certain infrastructure related solution to repair and maintain those needs. So we will come back and give a report, particularly on the delay and the functionality of the air quality monitoring station. This also being an air priority area in terms of our air quality response. Coming to the other questions.
Kutana and Moya, the sewage.
The issue of the sewer, I mean, I thought that it was dealt with during the water affairs response, but as it relates to the pollution of the environment, particularly the river system, we are interested in trying to combat the problem, but we have not done work in offset. I cannot say that we had our scorpions visiting the area. So what we can do is to immediately attend to the area, working with the
community. You can them go and look and then bring a report back
bring
and say,
back, yeah.
This is what you saw, this is what is the plans of the municipality, or what you are trying to push them to do.
And I think similarly, Chair, on Mafikeng Mananganyi's question around polluting of the river.
And Philippi, the other one.
And Philippi. So we will
report on all three of those, go and investigate and see to what extent open sewage is and what extent we take, okay?
Yeah. Then the part on waste management, which is Ms. Ferguson's question, and Ms. Kofana's question. The waste management, as you correctly say, the collection side and the management of landfill side is a local government function. We have been trying to intervene in the area of permitting of landfill sites so that at least where the waste is disposed, there is a proper management of that infrastructure, because by virtue of those not being permitted and there is then general illegal dumping, we are also polluting the groundwater sources. We have interventions that have not yet yielded good results. We are midway, as we would have reported previously to the committee. But in these particular areas where you are raising the issue of waste, dirty towns like Luanda and Somerset, we would have to again see how we can try and collect that information and work on a response plan with the municipality. We do, however, really have a funding issue. We have been trying to get through the municipal infrastructure grant to provide waste services to municipalities, but we have not been as successful as the Department of Water Affairs in that regard. I think water is more a core in terms of local government or the provincial and local government understanding the impacts and the need to respond and support resource allocation. But in the area of waste management, we have not succeeded, and we need to continue to engage with the Department of Provincial and Local Government. Even with NISA, as it stands now, it's the Municipal Infrastructure Support Agency under the Provincial and Local Government is very much focused on water and other land, sanitation, less about waste. But it's not like we are not engaging, we are still engaging with them in order to find at least a more holistic response and solution to waste management in that regard. So we will we'll check with this area, with these municipalities, and see if we can find a solution. If in most instances, our study that we've undertaken confirms that municipalities, even in percentage terms, in their 4% budget that is for street lighting and all that, we then find refuse removal as part of that, but it's not well budgeted for in municipalities. Our inspectors, we have the regime, Isham can provide further details, where we train inspectors, green scorpions, for municipal levels. However, they have not yet been accredited or designated. The designation of those inspectors at local government level should happen through the MEC of the province. And in most of the provinces, especially I think in the Western Cape, we have the designation of environmental inspectors at local government level. In other provinces like Eastern Cape and I think was it Northwest, they have not yet designated. We have provided training at national, so those inspectors are ready to perform the function. But not in all the areas. So in this case, for Rwanda, Somerset West would work with the provincial government of the Western Cape to see how they provide continuous monitoring as well as response to the problem. And lastly, the question about the Amadiba community chair, without knowing what their complaint is,
that whole development there is cracking and failing of residential houses and normal diseases brought about for human beings, grazing fields devastated, contamination of water resources and air poisoning pollution, fruit trees that stop bearing fruit, all in all is undeveloped dust pollution from the mine, promises were never fulfilled over the mining line, you know, that type of stuff. For that whole thing. So, I'm going to give you the exact thing, but those are the kind of complaints that are coming forth from that community.
Mm.
It looks like it's a whole lot of chiefs and so on in that area.
Okay. What I can report, Chair, is that as far as we are aware, the titanium mining is not operational, but it's colonial. We had the department objected to the titanium mining application in the White Coast, and we further went on to undertake a study, a conservation study, which is what we called a conservation plan for Pondoland, which provided an indication of if we were to invest in ecotourism opportunities, what would be both the job creation benefits as well as the sustainable development, broad sustainable development outcomes, and a vessel mining in that area. However, at the time, while the prospecting license that was issued by the Department of Mineral Resources, but subsequently, because of significant opposition at the time, that project was halted. But now, if it is continuing, we will then just see what we can
do. Maybe they're mixing up that one and they're mixing up the Richards Bay one.
Yeah, Richards Bay is
looks
on
like
the other side,
yeah.
Next to St. Lucia. This one is on the White Coast.
Well, Kagana, maybe they're mixing up the two, but
yeah.
But have a look at that when we give it and then give us a report on it, okay?
Okay.
The other thing I've been sending to you is the issue of the leopards in the Western Cape.
Okay.
Now, as you know, people are complaining that permits are being given and that leopards and I think foxes and jackals just being wiped out at a wide, large scale by farmers and so on. Have you guys, I mean, I've said this to you some time back already and it continues coming, and I said that, have we had any investigation into that issue, and do we, is there any response to it?
Chair, thanks. The licensing or the issuing authority is the Western Cape Department of Environmental Affairs. And the matter was referred to them for a response, and I think I can follow up so that we can then give you the definite response in that regard. But in general, I think the Western Cape has a legislation, even provincial legislation, to manage a specific species that
that's right, you see, but the problem I keep on getting is that people are complaining and saying that those things are being exceeded. Now, I have no factual way of finding out whether it's true or not. That is why we need a report from you so that I can lay it to rest one way or the other. I can either say there must be further investigation or say no, but people are exaggerating the extent of these. I've got no way to factually decide this thing and get it to it. And I don't want to express myself on things and then get into a fight where I may not. So I need to get a report on that. And if you have sent it to them, please give us answers.
Okay.
I think it's also the jackals and the foxes. And
yes.
Now, of course, all these things kill sheep and so on. One understands it. But if there's a large-scale killing of it, which I'm not saying there is, but which is the allegation, one would want to try and put some curb on that, at least to get a balance. You know?
Okay.
So please, if you can, that as well.
Okay.
And then the last one is that Timbavati issue, also from the Western Cape that I sent to you. What has happened about that? I know you sent me a document, but what is the outcome?
Yeah,
the NEC of Environment sent it to me. Yeah. Remember that issue.
Yeah.
And
it's about the management.
Okay.
So what we are calling to do is the response of the department to the Rhino and the family to say goodbye from the
Rhino. Is that what they wanted to know about? They didn't have a response, and they wanted to respond, and you responded,
yeah.
And to them as well. Yeah. Okay, well, that's fine. That's fine. And that's,
in fact, Mr. Chair, we've outlined our process that they should engage in respect of how we explore the options that are available to deal with the rhino challenge. And they agreed they will be notified of what those processes entail. So the response includes that in terms of...
That will hopefully also be part of the workshop today, when they come to that workshop again. Also
okay.
Deal with these things. Okay, so I think, Ms. Dawood, are there any of the other issues that I've referred to the partner that we've not raised on the environment? I think those are them, eh? All right, there was a hand there, Mr. Rogers and Mrs. Kosana.
Chair, the syndicate hunters in Richmond, High Flats, and like...
Oh, yes, this is the grounds, yeah.
Also, just to mention an incident recently, now that you've raised it, farmers poisoning sheep carcasses to kill jackals wiped out an entire colony, as it's called, of clay vultures in Swartberg, Franklin area, which was shocking.
It's this ongoing battle, and this is what people keep referring to me. I'm a bit nervous to get involved. It's NGOs and the West Cape government fighting each other. What's worrying me is that, you know, if something is not serious, it goes away. And this thing just keeps on festering as a problem. We really need a report to see that to what extent there is a problem or not. Okay? So, Dini, we can follow that up. I mean, this is shocking to hear that.
I think, Chair, we will definitely follow up because we do have a problem animal or damage causing animal regulation or normal standards, which should be followed. But again, I think if there are practices that are outside of that, which seems to be the case, we would have to attend to it.
But you see, DG, that's my issue.
No.
Is there are all these things, but I need you as a department to assess the complaints, to get a response from Western Cape, So they do in a balanced way. The national department can say to us, we think here's a problem or there isn't a problem, you know. And then you, of course, if there is a problem, I know you will start engaging the Western Cape, and you engage us, and we can then start doing things about it, okay? Ms. Kusana?
No, Chairperson, this one is a more direct question on what I received yesterday in the evening, around 2. I received the call that there is a low fat in a certain area called Mamutland. It was in killing a cow, and they called a low fat.
Leopard, okay.
They called the police. The police, they were also even shivering, not looking around. Something that actually maybe the department is having some strategies of how to deal with such issues. Can I just maybe assist that if there is any assistance from the department?
Okay, any other environment issues? Okay, you want to respond to any of these further issues, DG?
Chair, with regard to honourable members' issue on the syndicate hunting, it's a bit of a problem for us because for us it's more of a criminal issue. Because I mean, essentially, from my understanding, they hunting buck on private farm, so it's actually a police matter, and it puts us in a bit of a difficult situation because our guys are not necessarily equipped to the same powers as the police. And
but can't they do the investigation? I think it was Mr. We understand that part. But you see, if you just say to, if you go to a police station, you say, I want to make a complaint, you know, they're not going to go out there. Whereas if your investigators go there and find it and take a photograph of this happening, from that moment onwards, you've got evidence. And then you get charged.
Yeah.
So I think that's what we want. You go and investigate, make a case for me, and then send a report. Thanks a lot.
Okay. I think, Chair, we wouldn't do that because I think what I'm hearing from some of the members is that the authority which is the case, everyone knows, is indicating that they do not have capacity. So we have to work with the province, via any province, with our limited capacity just to investigate the matter.
I tell you what. You send one person in there with a long lens and you take 4 photographs, that's the end of it, you've got a case.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
You know what I'm trying to say? It's actually an easy one.
Yeah.
It's not like people's lives are in danger and so on. Yeah. All that they must find out when the next time it takes place, take a few photographs and from that moment on you've got a case. Okay? Huh?
Leopards?
Do you?
Precisely.
They
were controlling them. They were subject to, we put into the chairperson for training.
Our club in Russia.
The difficulty is that they are wild, and specifically Africa raised it because the track is lost.
Well, they shy and
to catch them.
Yeah.
Well, the vets and the SPCA. Correct people to contact in that regard. Usually the commercial department has a better resource where they can send out the vehicle and data and where it is actually marked.
Okay.
Alright,
look, obviously the constituency issues around the environment are more complicated because they more generalized and sometimes it's norms and standards and so on. So it's not as easy to do constituency issues. But there are issues like air quality and sewerage, and those problems can be brought here and we can have. So I think now we also know that Isham is basically the guy that has to do all the work from constituency work because most of them are enforcement issues. So what they're going to do is for those sewerage things, send in some people to go and have a look at that and see whether it's a once-off problem or it's a real problem in terms of things flowing in the streets and so on, in gutters and that, and see what we're doing about that. The dog thing, they'll definitely be able to sort out by just sending a team in there. And then, of course, the Amadiba, we wait for a response, the leopards, I think we'll also wait for that kind of response. So obviously we now, just by today's, we can see that your environment constituencies are a bit more complicated because they're not like you build a dam, you build a water ball, it's more esoteric and so on. But there are definitely enforcement issues. And again, like I said, next time we'll hopefully have a list a week beforehand to tell you the kind of issues we're going to raise and so on, so that you can come up with better prepared. So thanks a lot for that. I hope it was useful, and then of course we wait for the reports also September, end September, and see where how far we are. Can I just ask, Didi?
Yeah, just the response to the earlier question about the demand, it is confirmed that the quality monitoring station is not working. It was analyzed and the insurance was paid to the local authority, which local authority did not use the money to repay, but reprioritized the funds for other people. So it's not repaired and the money is not there.
Can you ask that municipality that the commission would want within 2 weeks a response on their desk? Why, when that happened, why was the money used elsewhere, and what are the plans to get that working? Please allow me to put some press on them, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Can I ask, like we asked Water Affairs, that you go and put on your thinking caps? And these areas like air quality, and there are others where you are dependent on other people for the maintenance of equipment and that, to see what we're going to put in place to secure our information and that.
Mm-hmm.
It may have to take meetings with the COPTA and with municipalities, but what is it that we can do to try and get them to secure that they've got the funding and the capacity to make sure that they fulfill their side of the bargain? I really want you to think out of the cap and see if you can give us a report on this thing, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The same as with water, with the with things where they build infrastructure and hand it over to municipalities. Same problem here. But here is a different one. Is, you know, you depend on your work for these people.
Mm-hmm.
Where they not, the Department of Water is not dependent. One, that desalination plant is gone, so that municipality. But you guys can't do your work without these people.
Mm-hmm.
So there had to be an agreement, an MOU between you and these municipalities, where this infrastructure is, and how we can make sure that this takes place and that you can intervene. I mean, like this thing about this municipality that used the insurance money for something else.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that can't be right there, the government. So we have to tie that down to something, man. You have to get them to see. I mean, I think the other way is going to work as a MOU or a protocol or something that they commit themselves. Let's see what you can do for us, okay?
There is an agreement, but it's not working.
It's not working. Relook at it, okay? Thanks, DG.
Thank
now, the other DG, I see you came off back for more punishment. I'm glad you're here. There's one thing I forgot. In fact, there are a whole lot of issues I forgot to raise with you, but let me ask you this one. One of the green and the blue drop report, one of them has been published and the other one hasn't. What is happening there? You know, I've also had complaints that you've had a big party somewhere and you spent a lot of money on a party and the report was never published and we're still waiting for the publish for the report. So, you know, all these horrible rumors are coming to me and I'm like a response to you. I'm like a sponge. Everything comes here and sits inside me. Explain to me what's happening there, DG, around the green and blue drop report.
I'm not going to talk about the party, I'll talk about the reports. Chair, the green and blue drop reports get published on alternative years.
Mm.
And this is the year for the publication of the green drop report. We've got the drop report, which is under consideration in the department at the moment. I put together a technical team just to review the report. Once that technical review has taken place, the report will then go through for final approval by Minister, and then submission through to the FOSAT cluster and through the cabinet before it gets released. That's the process.
And there's only that one report this year.
This year. The other one is, we have a full report of green and blue drop and alternative years. Then as an intermediate, there's just an assessment report that's done. And that's just a progress assessment that is done. With regard to a conference, which wasn't a party, that was held in Sun City, there was an expectation that the report would be released at that conference.
The consensus is that the actual report that came through this process.
That's correct, John. But the report had not gone through the approvals processes. And I was not prepared to, well, Minister also was not prepared to release the report until such time it's gone through the vetting and approval process.
So who called the party? Who's party?
That's, who's it? I forget your organizers. it's an annual municipal conference that's organized.
Oh, it's that a deal with, so it's not we just call the party and spend
No. We'll have a party when we...
when you have the report, okay.
We'll have our party.
So there was a municipal, municipal party where they thought this report may be tabled but wasn't ready, and so they just spoke in general.
No, Chair, the conference wasn't organized for the release of the report. It's a conference that's organized annually.
Ah.
And, no, it's not Bruna, some other. I can go back, I'll check it. Chair, I can't answer on behalf of some other organisers. The core question is around the Green and Green Drop report. And
so the municipalities called a meeting. They were hoping this report would be ready so that they can pat themselves on the back and give reports.
It's a jointly organised conference, Chair. And at that conference annually, the report is normally, either one of the reports are then that the results are published. These conferences are organized quite far in advance, but the fact that my report, the publication of the Green Drop wasn't ready, while that all the work had been put in place for the conference, which deals with other matters as well, the report was not released.
That we have a similar forum, the compliance and enforcement report, which happens once a year with these parties. And it focuses on a whole host of issues about the capacity and lessons and best practices across municipalities. At times, we also release the compliance and enforcement report if it's ready. But when it's not ready, we shall process it afterwards.
Okay, so
I would think
I think that clarifies the issue. Basically, that's a forced looking process. I would rather them process it properly and get proper result out of it than rushing it. Let's hope that that party, which the committee was not invited to, we were invited to that party, there have not been any questions.
Okay.
Once again, we won't. Okay, so we understand that. I wasn't sure what was happening. So then the other report that's not big, you'll only have an assessment report on it. Not a full, and then every 2 years you have a full report. Okay, all right. Can I also suggest, Ms. Dawood, the other water issues that you raised with me, that you also give that to Mr. Bal so that they can respond to it in their reports, okay? And then add it to your diagram. Just the specific water problems that we were given. Like, for example, some portfolio committee went and I think it was appropriations, and then they found terrible things at the sewerage thing and they reported on it. So we wanted to see what happened to that kind of thing. Following up on parliamentary kind of constituency stuff. Okay, that's it. I think that most members have popped around to me or nodded to me or winked to me to say that they found that these issues were very useful. I think that the next meeting will probably get better in the way that we handle it and be prepared for it and so on. And as I say, we now as a committee instituted it to have it at least once a term. So we'll have it four times a year, at least so that we can keep on dealing with these kind of service delivery issues. And it also makes your life easier to keep on reporting on it and it gets done and we get it out of the way. The important thing for us is also to get some of these things finalized. Like, I mean, the 52 villages, if they have water one in my lifetime, so just think what a party that's going to be. That's going to be a huge party of all parties.
That's close to some city.
It's close to some city. You won't? No. The committee won't get invited again, as usual.
There won't be a committee.
Definitely not a conversation. But I thought it was useful that I say we'll also from outside try and make it work better. The committee members must think about how to make this thing work better, because there's still a bit too much generalization on some of the issues. I mean, clearly we're dealing here with service delivery stuff, so we don't want to deal with systemic problems. We want to deal with specific problems in areas and so on. Okay, that's good. Now, it's half past. Trevor, you can at least be released if you want to. Environment, let me, we won't start processing today. What you can just tell me, Isham, is what is it that you've done since our last hearing, our public hearing, so what is it that you've done, what documents will be available for us for tomorrow that I can see how to take it forward. This is now the Integrated Coastal Management Bill. And I know they gave us and we'll distribute it, but I'm wondering in the half an hour we have left before lunchtime, I don't want to start with anything. I want to try and see what you've done, because I haven't read anything, so that I can see whether it's all done, whether I've got homework. Nadia?
Oh,
DG, you want to check?
The document stack in front of you, I'm going to just take you through it so that you understand what they are, and they actually are an attempt to comply with what you requested at the last briefing. We've got the first one, which just explains the process that we follow, the submission to the portfolio committee on what has happened thus far, just as a reminder on the process relating to the bill and the hearings and so forth, and the things that were asked for us. We then attach the documents. And the second document is the comment and response table.
Ah, I see.
Okay.
Not replace all with, we agree.
And in the table it tells you all the things we agree with, disagree with, and why. Yes. And then in the next one, number three, is the act with the Christmas tree decoration.
Ah.
Like you asked for.
Lovely.
The blue
color will be.
Okay. The blue text.
Blue.
Tells you what the commenters want.
Yeah.
The green text tells you what the commenters want and what we agree with.
Okay.
Okay. The grey text tells you where we have come up with a proposed alternative.
Okay.
And the yellow text is the amendment bill as it stands.
Wonderful.
Okay.
Excellent.
And then
even I can understand that. That's a wonderful.
You have to be stupid to be able to do this, Chair. So, and that's why I tried my best. I'm suggesting I have to be stupid to explain it, because I'm not a fancy science system, I'm afraid. And then if you look at 4, Chair, you will find the correspondence between ourselves and Transnet and ourselves and Professor Whittle, which is the indication of the agreements that we've reached with regard to some of the contentious issues. This is just really the evidentiary material to substantiate why we come up with some of the agreed text. But the material part actually lies in cross-referencing between the Christmas Tree Act and comment and response table, which we will attempt to do when we go through the details.
Okay.
Thanks.
That seems to be easy to understand. So really, tomorrow, we just need the act with the amendments plus the comments that will go through each comment one at a time, say which we agree with, where we agree with the part and disagree, where we want further work done, and then we'll process it like that tomorrow. Okay. Can I suggest, as we're not set today, can we suggest we start tomorrow at 9? And where are we meeting? Yeah? Okay, let's start here at 9 and we've got a full 4 hours to see how we can process stuff, okay? Okay? Any problems?
Should we have the Women's Parliament tomorrow?
Tuesday.
Women's Parliament.
From 1 o'clock?
9 o'clock. From 9 o'clock to 3 o'clock.
So what does that mean?
Women not here.
Are all the women going to be in here?
Men also.
As usual, men will make all the decisions.
Now, what we'll do is, we really have time constraints, so if our women colleagues don't mind, we'll keep processing it. But of course, if you ever, when we come back next time when we deal with it, if you have any comments on those matters, we'll give you a chance to comment. Mamaganya, Ferguson, Wenger, Lomo, Bengu, all of you, are we happy we do that? So what we'll do is we'll process tomorrow, give some instructions and so on, but if any of the our women colleagues are not here tomorrow, but they're there, we'll of course give you a chance at some other steps to comment further if there was something you picked up.
No,
I mean, all you have to do is go through these documents, you'll find these. Ms. Bengu?
I think Chakotin would be here for just 1 hour.
Yeah. No, it's fine. But that will apply to those that even go then there. Later on you'll have a chance to comment further on these matters. I won't close it. Of course, for men, after they said they say it's closed forever, they will never talk again. Of course, the chairperson being of dubious about character and sexuality, will have a chance to keep on commenting as long as you want. this is tomorrow, it's an ongoing process, so we'll see how it goes, alright?
Yeah,
thank you very much. That's good. Good morning's work. We'll see you have a nice talk tomorrow and start talking
to your woman.
Mr. Rogers?
Jesus. On behalf of the committee, I'd just like to thank you for allowing us this forum, for giving us the opportunity. I'm extremely positive. And going forward, I think that every portfolio should have the opportunity to deal with issues on a one-to-one, so that at the end of the day, we can try and improve the lives of ordinary people. Thank you, Chair.
That's very useful. What I said is we must think this thing further throughout the box. Because, for example, what I thought about, and I haven't said it to anyone, you know, we have a question and answer session in the house. Why can't we have it in